And welcome to this podcast episode from Bethel Church. Today, Pastor Kyle's message compares the kingdom of God to a computer's operating system. If you'd like to learn more about this, just stay tuned.
Have you ever been in an important meeting or in that rare Zoom call with your grandchildren and when your Windows operating system decided an update was needed? And it shut you down in the middle of your call. This morning when we powered up the laptop in the back, it said, Windows installing updates. You know, I'm wondering, are we going to have it up in time in order for us to do the service on it today? You know, when it happened to me the other day in the meeting, it felt like my stomach leapt up in my throat. And I could feel my stress just skyrocket going there. I was in a Zoom meeting a couple weeks back, and the chair for that meeting, his computer shuts down in the middle to do an update. He sat there powerless, unable to run his meeting. Whether you wanted to do the update or not, it just happened. So it was just imposed upon us, seemingly arbitrarily, at one of the worst possible moments. Certainly an opportunity to practice your spiritual gift of patience. And not all operating systems are like that, fortunately. For example, Apple always gives you a choice. It provides you an alert or a prompt that something better is available, but it always waits for you to make the move. Are you in an important meeting? Participating in an online class on a Monday night Bible study, you know, it can wait. You know, Apple took much of the ideas of Windows, such as multiple apps open at the same time, and made them better. I'm an Apple fan, of course, and I love my Mac. And we're going to talk more about this in a bit, but since we are gathered here at Bethel, it might be a good idea to read some scripture, you know, so we can kind of like check that box going at it. So today's passage comes from John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. If you have your Bibles with you, either a book like this one or on your phone, go ahead and turn there. If you don't have it with you, don't worry. We're going to also have it on the screens up here as well. And while you're going to John 3, verse 1, let me just provide you with a little bit of context of what's happening here. Just prior to this meeting, Jesus has been at the temple in Jerusalem and has just cleansed out the temple of people in the outer courts, the court of the Gentiles, where they were selling animals and money changers. And, you know, I mean, he wasn't gentle about it, right? We, you know, we see, you know, we picture Jesus as all loving and all this. Yeah, but sometimes Jesus had a whip. And when something wasn't going the way it was supposed to go, he would take it in upon himself to make things right. To understand a little bit about that also is, you know, in order for the Jews, when they came back into Jerusalem, so they could give their tithes to the temple, they had to do it in the temple currency. See, the temple had its own coinage. And if you came from, you know, other parts of, you know, like maybe the city of Corinth or Rome or Damascus or somewhere else, and you had it in the Roman coins, that wasn't acceptable. So you had to have those converted when you got to Jerusalem. And so they would set up there in the courtyard of the Gentiles, which in the temple, but on the outside, where only the Gentiles were allowed to be. They couldn't go any further because they were Gentiles. And they would set up money changers there, and for a fee, they would convert your money into the temple coins that you could use to do that for a fee. And, you know, people go to the temple also to make sacrifices. And some people would bring their animals with them. But before they could be sacrificed, they have to be inspected to make sure they are without blemish, without any defects. And almost assuredly, somebody was going to find a defect with whichever animal you brought, and it would not be acceptable. But don't fear, because we've got one over here that will sell you for an exorbitant price that will take care of your sacrificial needs. So there's a racket, a racket going on there. And so Jesus, and so all these animals for sale, all these money changers were crowding up in the courtyard of the Gentiles and squeezing out the Gentiles. So they couldn't come in and worship inside the temple. If you were a Jew, you could go into the courtyard of the women. If you're a Jewish man, you could go into the courtyard of the Israelites, which is even earlier, further into the temple area. And then you have the holy place, which only the priests could go, and the Holy of Holies, only the chief priest once a year. So you see why they're crowding out the Gentiles. Jesus was a little bit angry about that. And so he'd just gone through and purged them out of that area and created a name for himself in the process. So that's what happened right before chapter 3 comes in at verse 1 that we're going to talk about here. So on the heels of the events, we get John's account here. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Now, I wonder why Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. A lot of speculation for that. Why not question him during the day? I mean, he's there. He's out and about. Why not question him? You know, some believe that the nighttime was a time set aside by the Pharisees where they would do their own research and study the scriptures and be prepared for the next day when they go out and maybe do some teaching. So maybe that was his way of doing some research by going in then. Or others, like myself, I believe that Nicodemus went there so he really wouldn't be noticed as going to see this rabble-rouser who had just cleansed the temple and didn't want to be kind of associated with him. That's kind of how I look at it. But Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus scratches his head and said, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" So, you know, Jesus then immediately goes into teaching mode on Nicodemus. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus still doesn't understand and asks him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" May the Lord greatly add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, does Jesus' tone with Nicodemus seem a little harsh to you? Yet, here was a man with a professional level of education. They'd been poring over the scriptures for decades at this point. And he was too stuck, though, in his views to comprehend this new revelation that Jesus was bringing to him. If you look closely at the Old Testament, you know, it leads to what Jesus was teaching him. But Nicodemus was not connecting the dots. In some ways, our spirits are like an operating system for us. The OS of life contains our apps, you know, our skills. And it includes our data files, memory, and learning. It basically runs our life. and our OS operating system came pre-installed. Much like you get when you buy a computer off the shelf, it comes with an OS pre-installed in it. It's the system that runs the life of the computer. Our spirit is our OS. It can run on different platforms, just like computers can run Linux, it can run Windows or Mac. A computer only comes to life when it has an operating system running it. Our bodies only come alive when we have an OS running it. The most popular OS for computers today is Windows. And people continue to put up with those forced updates on a weekly and daily basis from the world around us. Sometimes they happen in the midst of something critical. When culture changes or shifts, they force updates on our pre-installed OS. In ancient Israel, the Israelites were operating under the prevailing OS of their time, Judaism. And since the exile, they had received numerous forced updates from the Pharisees, and the users were stuck with them. But they didn't know there was anything better, so they just accepted it. Maybe they grumbled about it a little bit, but they came to even resist the idea that there could be anything better than what they had. And then Jesus came along. And in today's passage, Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus, who is operating under the Judaic operating system, the JOS. Immediately prior to this encounter, Jesus introduced himself to the current users of the JOS, the Jews in Jerusalem, by upending some of their basic ideas, their traditions. You can imagine there are people there at the temple. Some of them heralded what he was doing. They're like, finally, somebody's going to make things go here. They probably watched quietly, though, from the sidelines for fear of the religious leaders seeing them. But many, particularly the religious elite, they were outraged. Who is this Galilean coming in here and upending what we're doing? Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin. That's the ruling council of the Jews. And they were the current proponent of the existing operating system. And so Nicodemus was intrigued by what Jesus had to say. In secret, he came to visit Jesus and try and get some tech support. Maybe some of you have called tech support before. But you see, Nicodemus's current operating system was clouding his understanding of what Jesus was trying to say. Changing to a new OS can be scary. Going from something you know, even though you know it has flaws, to something you don't know is tough. Here is the original conversation in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, along with what it might sound like today. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Today it might sound like, "Excuse me, tech support, I heard about you. There's clearly genius behind your work because nobody could have devised a better system than the one we have." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, today it might sound like, "Listen and learn. You're not going to get the result you want with that old operating system. You must install and upgrade to the Holy Spirit OS." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Or it might sound like, "I am old. I don't understand computers very well. But how can I get rid of the current Judaism OS? I can't just change my hard drive, can I?" Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. That would sound like the only way you can receive the HSOS is by pressing Control-Alt-Delete on your computer, and at the system, select Restart, and at the command prompt, install HSOS. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Would sound like, but I thought pressing Control-Alt-Delete was only for emergencies. Are you certain that is the only way? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So this would be, you're a supercomputer user and you don't know this? I've told you what needs to be done to your computer, but if you don't trust me with the basics, how will you trust me with maximizing the use of the HSOS? So Nicodemus was used to the old operating system. He knew that a new OS was on the horizon. Jeremiah chapter 31 that Debbie read this morning talks about that God was going to install a new heart and remove the old heart that was there. And on that new heart would be written his law, the law. So these are things that they were anticipating. There was something coming up. Like many of the people whom we interact with, they are used to the way things are. They're reluctant to change. They're the ones who call tech support and frustrate that 20-something-year-old who are tasked with answering our questions. Some of them may be supercomputer users, but they've not heard there is something so much better. The truth is, Jesus was speaking plainly, but using metaphors. Nicodemus couldn't be physically born again. He wasn't to have his hard drive replaced. He needed to be spiritually reborn. He needed a new OS. That's what was needed in him and in us to download a new operating system, the Holy Spirit operating system. When that system is installed, our lives function in a whole new light. It's a night and day difference in the outlook we have. And one of the great qualities of this OS, it will never need to be replaced. And best of all, this OS is freely available to us. Jesus paid for all of us to be able to install it. And it's right there in the cloud, ready for download. Now, I'm not saying that Windows is evil or of the devil, though I confess the thought has come to my mind when sometimes I've got these updates needed to be installed. But it provides an illustration, you know, of how a computer's or even a smartphone's operating system needs to be, you know, works. It's similar to our spirit, the way it works. When we have the right OS installed, things simply work the way God intended. So do all of the people that we know have the right OS installed in their lives? If not, we need to help them to press Control-Alt-Delete and reboot into that HSOS. You know, we can help them, direct them into the tech support that they need for the HSOS. And the Bible is the prompt, like what Apple provides, to let us and our people know that a better OS is available. Some may choose to keep their old system, but there are those who will want to upgrade. We must be patient and help them download the best operating system. Jesus has already paid for it. They only need to install it. Their eternal soul depends on it. Let's pray. Father God, what was plain to you was confusing to Nicodemus. But at the same time, you gave a roadmap of what needs to happen, of how we can remove the heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh, a new heart with your law written on it, that we could know and be able to relate directly to you. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us voice, connects us to you intimately. And it is the Holy Spirit that gives us that new birth, that new spirit in us that allows us to connect and feel the love and feel the blessings that you have for us, to bring to remembrance of those things that we need, and to, if we feed it, if we continue to read the scriptures, we will gain a greater understanding with our teacher, our counselor, our companion, the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for those who do not have that, who are operating under the old operating system. We pray that we'll be able to help guide them, that we will be a tech support for them, that we can come to them and help them to install this new HSOS, the Holy Spirit operating system, that will just open up their lives to something wonderful. Father, we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
I'll bet you never thought of God's kingdom in terms such as these today, but the new way kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Now, do you need an update such as Pastor Kyle described today? The good thing is that there is absolutely no charge, and you can get your new operating system whenever you're ready. Tune in again next time for the next episode.